Greetings, I'm Jimmy Chapman, on vacation. So, here I am, a few weeks ago, wanting to share with you a list of games that had the most impact for me as a human being, not just as a creative, with their story, mechanics, and feel. At least, right now, in the summer of 2020. I'm going to split this between video games and board games. Video games first. And I'll only include games that lack a body kinetics portion or will be here all day. So let's get started. The first one on the list has to be my favorite game of all time. Halo 2. Part of Bungie, now 343's Halo series. Halo 2, as I've said, is my favorite game. I've fought through that game and for that game more than I can recall. The lore, the media, the meta. Back in the day, we had no internet when Halo 2 came out. I put together a presentation, gathered evidence, and gathered funds to finally bring internet into the home, and was able to get not just Halo 2 matchmaking set up, but have the entire world open to internet-only games, such as World of Warcraft. But we'll cover that game later. As for the game itself in Halo 2, I used to play it again and again on the hardest difficulty setting, going from easy to legendary to the point where legendary was easy. So I started keeping the non-player characters alive, just computer bodies that I would escort through the mission. And when Halo 3 came out, I used to participate in tournaments, which I won. So, yeah, Halo 2, the Halo series, has had the greatest impact on me out of any other game, bar none. But that's kind of way too short of a list here, so let's get on to some others. The second game I would mention is Chex Quest. This is a CD that came in a box of Chex cereal back in the 90s. It's the first game made with the Doom engine that wasn't Doom. If you're unfamiliar with Doom, it's a first-person horror game that set new standards in the FPS or first-person shooter genre. So I was getting a quality education, a PG quality education, because you teleport, not shoot, snot aliens back to their dimension. Regardless of the gimmicks, it gave me my first FPS experience from this little-known gem of a game with excellent monsters and excellent mechanics in great level design. The third game I'd mention is Medal of Honor Frontline. This is a second FPS in my life that gave me one of the best introductions to video games I really could have asked for. It starts where you end up on the beaches of Normandy during D-Day as its first level. Fantastic. Work of art. Anyway. It's lauded as one of the best of the Medal of Honor series, and the dire story and tight gameplay certainly prove that. It was a stunning experience. The other game that I was playing at the same time as Medal of Honor was Kingdom Hearts, the original, way back in the day. And how do you describe this game? How do you describe a game having soul? How do you communicate visceral feelings? Anyway, it's stellar as an action game, very clever as a platformer, great dialogue, great writing, excellent acting. It's beautiful soundtrack, and the world is stunning. And yeah, I did a lot of exploration in that game, countless hours, and it was one of the first games that I beat. The next game on this list, which I now realize is unnumbered, so I'm going to just have to say next, is Soul Calibur. This is the original Soul Calibur. It's an arcade fighting game, and I played it on a cabinet. I remember, I played it on a cabinet at a hotel we were staying at, and it was in the pool area, which kind of blows my mind now why they would have electronics near so much water, but who am I to say? And to be honest, it was my first video game ever, and I beat it, and I kept feeding quarters into it, and I beat it again and again and again with multiple characters. This is excellent fun, and I'm a very impressionable child. So, yeah, Soul Calibur really got me interested in moving physical joysticks and artificial buttons to stimulate virtual characters on screen. And for any of you nerds out there, Nightmare is my boy. The next game on the list, StarCraft, the original, 1998. Was it 1998 or 1999? It also had an expansion, so can't remember. Anyway, StarCraft. Terrans, Zerg, Protoss, space opera at its finest. Its allowance to pick campaigns was great, as young Jimmy couldn't handle the difficulty spikes at times, and also he had a short attention span. But that map editor was super nice. And custom games against robots, robot players. More games need bots. But StarCraft gave me huge arcing storylines and a first introduction to the grim dark aesthetic, though it's not too terribly grim dark. Speaking of strategy games, we also have Red Alert 2. And it's absolutely ridiculous, the Red Alert series, because it takes place in an alternate timeline. It's the pressing story of a tricked Soviet Union invading the Allies and disabling the Allied nuclear capability, so we're in for the long war that ensues. And retro sci-fi weapons are brought out as the normal of the battlefield. Time travel, jetpacks, robotic spiders. It's kind of silly, but for me, gave me some of the best strategy fun I've ever had. But speaking of strategy, we do need to also include Lords of the Realm 2. It's a strategy and tactics game where you build empires, move soldiers, lead armies in castle sieges. I played for countless hours, and it was a fantastic time of getting me to think about the future and plan ahead. After all of Lords of the Realm 2 days, Pokemon Red and Gold came out. These were on the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance, and I spent way too many hours on these games, exploring the world, being the very best, like no one in the game world ever was. A super powerful grass Pokemon in Gold was my achievement. I took a lot of pride in that. Until a classmate overwrote the save file on a train trip. I've been pretty much done with Pokemon ever since then. And Pokemon Go doesn't count, because that's all about moving around. So, yeah, my biggest experience with Pokemon, other than seeing the TV show, was Red and Gold, and it gave me a sense of accomplishment that's kind of hard to emulate in other games. As we go on and on about these countless hours spent on video games, we are going to be, I'm going to be humbled by telling you this, Elder Scrolls Oblivion, which is on this list, is one of the games that most impacted my life. It's over 360 hours of gameplay, because sometimes the game would crash and you'd lose hours of play and I would get very frustrated, but I can safely say I spent over 360 hours on one playthrough before I started the main campaign, which counts as, spoiler alert, you going and finding the Emperor's son. Oblivion gives you a living world that, for me, I could do anything in. And I found out what I like to do. I explored every dungeon. I pillaged every crypt. I made multiple trips to haul every scrap arrow out of burrows. And I guess it's a bit of a lie to say I explored every dungeon. I explored every dungeon I found. There were still areas in the game I never got to. It's that huge. And no, I haven't played Skyrim yet. I figure that will also take a chunk of my life too. But enough of Oblivion. Let's get to Star Trek Armada, a real-time strategy game. And I'm kind of curious, has anybody else played or know of this game? It's a game about leading a Star Trek faction's fleet against a galaxy wounded by war, but itching to start a new one. I have a copy, but I can't get it to play, and would love to play it again. It has many of the aspects that I deeply enjoy. Multiple faction play, unique units, grand conflict, and you can choose the campaigns that you want to play in the order that you want. The story may not make complete sense all the time. Continuing with the theme of Grand Conflict is Total Annihilation, a retro-looking real-time strategy game of scouring dead worlds with your giant mega mecha to bring a millennia-long civil war to a close, and doing all that felt great. So what is better about this game? Maybe an order would be no unit cap, sending waves of gunships to harass the enemy base, pounding them into pulp, or building a windmill farm so you can test out your nukes in all of their destructive glory. It works every time. This list wouldn't be complete if I forgot to introduce World of Warcraft. WoW. Which kind of describes the feeling you get from spending many, many, many hours in this game. I spent those hours as a paladin myself, and I still recall fondly stories I'd share again of my time saving friends, fighting with the family for internet privileges. Words fail me. I lived through the Frozen Thrones zombie outbreak that turned the entire world into a graveyard, and I guess that seems a little too similar to life right now. Really, World of Warcraft stands as a triumph of game making. Nothing was made like it before, and nothing has really matched its design since. We can't go without mentioning Demon's Souls. No, this is not Dark Souls. This is the precursor to all that. And this game is a hardcore monster slaying role player, where you travel through old castles and dank swamps and try to piece together what really happened in the world. You can read text if you want, or you can just go stab something, have it kill you, and then figure out how to beat it. And that was the template for one of the best games of all time in both mechanics, lore, and public reception, already mentioned. Dark Souls. So, need I say more about this game? Well, I might need to say more about Call of Duty Modern Warfare. This is the original Call of Duty Modern Warfare, not the most recent one. Here in 2020, I'm not really sure what the difference is, but Call of Duty took my virtual shooting skills to the limit, and maybe a little too far. I recall, right now, with shame, the moment I broke. that I got so angry in a multiplayer session, the voice at the back of my head knew something was wrong. So, I stopped playing video games. I stopped playing video games for a while. At least until I got introduced to Dead Space, the next game on this list. It's a visceral terror of a game to play. Its horror is primal. And I played it alone in a dark room with a great headset and the volume up. Do that yourself and you won't forget it. Much like it's hard to forget Doom 2016, one of the best shooters currently available. Call of Duty Modern Warfare was a great shooter, don't get me wrong. It would be on the greatest shooters of all time list, and possibly Overwatch from Blizzard Entertainment too. Doom, however, Doom 2016, is in the top three list. No argument. Not to mention the award-winning soundtrack. It's good bloody fun, plain and simple, and must serve as a template for how shooter games will be created going into the future. To leave Doom 2016 out of the brainstorming session is not going to bode well for any shooter game you make. So, let's continue on. We got here Walking Dead by Telltale. And I have to include this because, well, I would die. I would fight to the death for a video game character. That's really kind of weird, and I should probably talk to somebody about that. The simple mechanics and nearly linear story are nothing absolutely special in this narrative choose-your-own-adventure game. But darn, I wouldn't give up on my virtual companions, and I murdered virtual people for my virtual companions. And I'd do it again, too. The game is so full of feels. You should try checking it out. Okay, those were the video games. Of course, I've played other non-physical games. Diablo, Gears of War, you get the drift. They were stellar, yes, for the most part. It's only that they lacked the same pull of my heartstrings, the piercing of my very soul, that they aren't covered here. I didn't realize how long this was, so I'm going to split this into two parts. Check in next week for cast number 27 for the most impactful games of my life that came in analog form. So in the meantime, drop a comment, give a share, let me know what video games have most impacted your life. Maybe I can include those in my stable of experience. For now, take care, and cheers.